This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody, to a jam-packed, and I mean jam-packed, Thursday of Sports Daily here today. We have all kinds of good and fun stuff coming up for you today. I am Jacob Albrecht alongside Tommy Kester. Jad Chambers is producing for us. The IHOP hotline will be busy today with guests. It's 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, where you can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves. All your favorites, just $6, Monday through Friday. We will have PJ Glasser in a little earlier than normal, and we'll tell you why in just a second. But he's joining us next segment. We've got Thursday night football, a great one tonight, a big weekend of college and NFL football, and a busy night of college hoops. I'm curious to see if PJ has any reads on college basketball yet as it pertains to our teams. Tonight, of course, we get the Shockers and K-State playing. We'll talk about those games as well. We also have our weekly visit with Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, that's coming up at 10 o'clock to look ahead to tonight's basketball game and this weekend's football game. And then special guest coming up is WWE Raw is set to come to Intrust Bank Arena. We're going to talk with one of the biggest superstars in the business right now. Gunther joins us on the program. That'll come up toward the end of this hour. We also have Cody Jinks tickets to give away here on the program. We also have some HTO to give away on the program today. All kinds of good stuff. Tommy, we're locked and loaded. We're ready. How are you?
Yeah, it's a busy day, as you mentioned. Jam-packed. A lot to get to. Of course, we've got PJ, like you mentioned, coming up a little bit early. So interested to get his take on the betting angles for Thursday night football tonight, college hoops, all the different things going on. And then, of course, we're into football and basketball with K-State. So looking forward to talking to Tim Fitzgerald about that. And Gunther from WWE, as you mentioned, you're wearing your Mickey Blaze shirt today.
I hope he's not intimidated.
I don't know
that.
If you're trying to impress him or intimidate him. I don't think he's going to care.
I cannot control how he reacts to that. If he's intimidated, I apologize. I would imagine he'd be impressed. But you know, it's hard to say. It's hard to say how people will react in you know when they see their you know one of their idols. Really, I would imagine in the industry.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
That's you. So you're the idol in the industry for
that's correct.
The current reigning WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, I wanted to be clear about that.
Yeah, one of the hottest names in the business, I'm told. My own insiders tell me. I miss watching it. I got to get into it with my son. If there was ever anybody on the planet that would love it, it's my son. And I loved it so much and still do. I just don't watch it much anymore because of time. But I got to get back into it. And man, WWE Raw at Interest Bank Arena. I have never been to a live televised show. I've been to 1,000 shows, but I've never been to a live televised show.
You haven't. It's actually a lot of fun. And I'm not a big fan. I was when I was a kid, but I went to Raw. Gosh, it was probably 10 years ago, 12 years ago at Intrust Bank Arena, and had actually like really good seats on the floor. And I had no idea. I didn't know what was going on, didn't know how it all worked. I wasn't familiar with a lot of the wrestlers at that point. So my buddy and I, we decided we would go and just cheer for the bad guys the entire time because we didn't know any better. And that was fun. That we had a good time doing that. The kids around us were pretty upset. John Cena was like at the top of his game. We were just booing John Cena left and right. The little kids around us were unhappy about that, but it was a lot of fun.
So I've told you this, a big part of our lives, largely because of Terry Funk and how close we were with his family, but we would go when we were young and Funk would, these weren't televised shows, but he'd sell out the arena, right? And he'd have like Ric Flair in town or whatever. And I mean, my dad would do that to Funk and we were devastated. Just absolutely the betrayal and the devastation. And he would just root for Flair and boo. And we wouldn't talk to him on the drive home.
I was doing some research, by the way, just so you know, on Gunther, because I wanted to make sure that, I know about what's going on with him and all of that. Did you know, and I didn't get a chance to tell you this, I think the guy that trained him, I'm pretty sure, so like Gunther's trainer was trained by Terry Funk's brother. So there's a little bit of like, six degrees of separation. Dory. Yeah. 6 degrees of separation, I think, between Gunther and you, perhaps.
Yeah, well, I'll look at that before we get into the interview. And Gunther's of the age. I mean, he's not much younger than us, I don't think.
Yeah.
So we'll have to, we'll take a look at that. That would be, that'd be really cool to make that connection. But we will. That's coming up a little bit later. We got all kinds of good stuff. We've got two college basketball games tonight, Wichita State and K-State. Should be good ones. We look at the lines on those games and we'll get to PJ on this, but it takes a while to get to them. Right. And there may be some opportunities there. I think these are both, at least by the odds, right? These are both pretty good games. I mean, they're both at last check last night, they were at 7.5 point spreads. So when I see a line like that, it's still 7.5 for the Shockers. And it is 8.5 for K-State over LSU. That tells you that, at least the expectation is that these should be competitive games.
I think so.
Don't you think? Like, yeah. These are going to be good basketball games.
I think so. I'm excited for Wichita State just for the sheer fact that, Northern Iowa is a longtime foe of the Shockers back in the Valley days. And, those were fun matchups. It's different now, but still the fact that you've got you and I coming into town. Plus, it corresponds with the welcome back to Mark Turgeon coming back to Wichita State and him being honored and all of that. And, when I think of Turgeon, I think of his teams facing both you and I and Creighton. Those are probably the two schools that I think about the most that aligns with, the years that Mark Turgeon was at Wichita State. So just for that sheer fact, I'm excited for that game tonight. But no, from a competitive standpoint, I think this is a really big chance for Wichita State to, they've already gotten off to a great start, but being able to, put your stamp on a matchup against a longtime foe like Northern Iowa this early in the season, I think that'll tell us a lot about this team.
You can't let Northern Iowa sneak up on you, but UC Irvine just did beat them by 80. By 20.
By 20.
At Northern Iowa. So okay. I don't know what to expect, but the energy, look, we're like a decade from that college game day environment here. So yeah, this will be fun for the fans. This will be fun for the fans. And then K-State, LSU. How about this, Tommy? LSU, K-State, and the KenPom right now, 50 and 51. So big test for the Cats. Certainly the biggest test the Cats will face so far this season. And for the Shockers, we just hope they keep, you know, going. If you missed anything with the conversation with Justin Hill, speaking of the Shockers yesterday, you can go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app. All right. We're going to get connected here with PJ Glasser when we return. We'll talk some betting, Thursday night football, maybe some college basketball. We'll see if PJ's ready for that turn of the page yet, but football for sure when we return. Don't go away. Sports Daily, coming right back. All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. It's a Thursday. It's a wild and crazy and busy Thursday. We're happy to be here with you. On the line right now, the host of Send It In, an Odyssey Sports betting insider, PJ Glasser. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the Send It In podcast. For more analysis, just search Send It In wherever you find your podcast. PJ, welcome in. It is football season. For us around here, it's also very much college basketball season. We've got our eyes on a couple of games tonight in that world. We've got Wichita State. We've got K-State, both playing home games, both with lines within 10 points, which means Vegas thinks they'll be competitive. Have you locked in at all to college hoops yet?
I have. Guys, that Champions Classic that we had the other night, it kind of feels like that's when college basketball sort of starts, when those four teams get together. I got a chance to watch the Wichita and Western Kentucky game opening night, because that Western Kentucky team I like a lot. They made the tournament last year. They return a ton. Wichita State, as you guys know, has a lot of veterans too. I thought that would be a really good game. It turned out to be a really good game. Yep. So, obviously with college football going on, heating up as we're getting ready for the playoff, that's certainly still the priority a little bit, but college basketball is my favorite sport. So trying to watch that as much as I can too. And I just love that we get all these great early season matchups in college basketball, which is so fun. So looking forward to those over the next couple weeks as well.
You were talking to, you mentioned college football, you know, right in the swing of that. We're, you know, in the midst of getting the updated rankings each week for the CFP, the top 12 and everything. And then there are some top 25 matchups and some big ones to look at this weekend, including Tennessee on the road at Georgia, two teams with CFP aspirations and all that. Georgia fell to Ole Miss over the weekend last week. What do you like in that game? And are there any other college football matchups you like?
Yeah, there's quite a bit I like in that game, guys. There's actually three bets I'm eyeing in Tennessee, Georgia. The first one's the spread. I like Georgia. I'd lay the 10. I think they're going to roll over Tennessee. You know, this is one of those games that might feel like it's a lot of points until it's not, right? I mean, Tennessee's offense hasn't been very good to begin with this season, and Nico Iamaleava, their quarterback, might not even play. So they're dealing with that. You got Georgia coming off a loss. They're at home. I know Carson Beck and Georgia's offense hasn't been good, but I just think this feels like a 24-7, 31-10 kind of game. So I like Georgia to cover. I also like the Tennessee team total under at 19.5 points. I just don't see Tennessee's offense getting much going. They've been really slow starters this year in SEC play, guys. Of their six SEC games, three of those six games, they've been shut out in the first half. And then against Kentucky, they only scored 7 points. So that's not a good formula when you're going on the road to play Georgia in a game that they must win coming off of a bad loss, which brings me to my third bet in the first half under at 24.5 points. So all those kind of correlate together, like Georgia rolling, a low-scoring first half, Tennessee team total over. But it's kind of the way I see the game going. You know, I think Tennessee is going to struggle to score. And I think Georgia kind of, you know, is in control of this thing the whole way. So I kind of see all those three bets correlating, but I like all three quite a bit.
Let's take them in chronological order in the Big 12 for the two teams we're following here. Up first Saturday will be K-State taking on Arizona State. The Wildcats coming off of a very disappointing road loss with a bye week coming into a home game against an Arizona State team that is certainly better, I think, than people expected. 8 points, the Cats are favorite, and over under a 50.5. What do you like in this one?
I like K-State as well, guys. This line opened 7.5. It's up to 9 now. Arizona State's running back, who's been one of their better players, Cam Scadabo, is questionable to play. I think that's a big deal. I just like K-State at home in this spot. As you mentioned, Jacob, Arizona State's been a surprise in the Big 12. They're having a real good year. Their schedule's been a little bit on the softer side, though, in the Big 12 compared to some of these other teams, and I think they're going to get a little exposed on Saturday in Manhattan. So I like K-State. There's a reason this line keeps moving up. I think anything under 10, anything under the double digits is a good bet in the Wildcats.
Looking at the Jayhawks, PJ, they're on the road in Provo at BYU on Saturday night. And, I mean, it's crazy with this Kansas team because of just the leads that they've been able to build in basically every game this season. And they finally were able to hang on to one against Iowa State last weekend. And the Cyclones came back in the fourth quarter, but Kansas was able to get the win. And they can kind of play spoiler moving forward. Do you see that happening against BYU on the road this weekend?
Guys, this is probably like the stinkiest line of the week, right? I mean, you got the number six team in BYU at home. They're favored by under a field goal, 2.5 against Kansas, who's unranked. And I mean, as we've been talking about on this show, like even though their record is not good, it hasn't been reflective of how competitive they've been this season. Couple, you know, different bounces go their way, and Kansas could be controlling their own destiny possibly for a Big 12 title. So, you know, I think this line's going to surprise a lot of people. Guys, it's just every year in college football, we see a team like BYU that's just kind of that like team of destiny in the regular season, and they just find ways to win week after week after week. And it feels like every week BYU's kind of got a funny spread in their game, and they usually cover a lot of them, but they're finding ways to win all these games. So I think BYU money lines the play at minus 140. If this goes back up to 3, and you can bet the Jayhawks at +3, I think that's a good number because I kind of see this playing out similar to the way the BYU-Utah did. Come right down to the wire, probably a game in the 20s. And I think BYU, they just find a way to win. So it's going to be a really good game. Certainly wouldn't be shocked if Kansas upsets them, but BYU's just kind of been finding a way, guys, to win these games all year. I think they're going to do it again.
I look at you mentioned a game in the 20s, and I look at that over at 56 is what I see, or 56.5. BYU plays more games in that range than maybe I thought. KU has played every game in that range, PJ, since September 13th. What would that be? Their last six games have gone over that number. I'd be a little afraid of the wackiness of a night game out there. But, man, that seems low on that over-under considering how comfortable and how often both of these teams exceed it.
Yeah, I'm not touching the total. As you mentioned, Kansas has kind of been playing in the 20s all year. I think it might be a little inflated just because they got in a shootout with Iowa State this past week. So maybe that total is a little bit higher than it should be. BYU, guys, is coming off to a physical, emotional game against Utah. I mean, that's a rivalry game. That game had so many ups and downs and swings. BYU made a double-digit comeback, some crazy calls at the end that went their way, game-winning field goal. So, you know, it's tough to know. I mean, this game could be another shootout or it could be lower scoring. I tend to think it's going to be lower scoring, but my play in the game is just taking BYU on the money line.
Outside of the top 25 and the couple Big 12 games that we've talked about, what's your favorite line in college football or favorite angle this weekend?
I really like Colorado, -11.5 against Utah. We were just talking about with BYU. Guys, Utah, I mean, you want to talk about an emotional loss and maybe having a hangover going into this week. I don't know if you guys saw the videos or whatnot, but Utah's athletic director after the game, like at the podium, talking about what a disgrace the Big 12 is. Like, I don't think they're still over that loss. I think it's going to carry into this week against Colorado. And, you know, if it wasn't for Kirk Cignetti at Indiana, you could argue that maybe Deion would be the coach of the year in college football this year. The job that he's done has been pretty incredible. And Colorado controls their own destiny to get to the playoffs. So, you know, they're going to be focused. They're going to be locked in, ready to go. They're at home. It's an early kick, 10 a.m. local time out there in Boulder. So, I just, you know, it's a fate of Utah, guys. I just don't think Utah is going to be as focused as they normally are. I still think they're feeling the effects from that BYU loss. And the Buffs have been rolling. I think they continue to do so. So I like Colorado laying the 11.5.
All right, let's switch over to the NFL. PJ, we'll start it with Thursday Night Football tonight. You've got the Eagles at home against the Commanders, both 7 wins. Should be a wildly entertaining game. 3.5-point spreads, what I see on BetMGM right now, over under of 48.5. the Thursday night no offense thing hasn't really been as much of a thing this year. What do you like tonight?
I like the Eagles. I like the Eagles -3.5. Usually on these Thursday night games, guys, you favor the home team, especially if the team's more talented, which the Eagles are. And look, for as great of a story as Washington's been this season, and for the fact that they've just kind of been going over expectations all year, I think they're starting to get exposed a little bit as of late. You know, they were very fortunate to win that game against the Bears with the Hail Mary. The Giants were right there. That game, they could have covered the spread. And then obviously they lose to the Steelers last week. Washington 7-0 against teams with a losing record. They're 0-3 against teams with a losing record. And when they've gone up against kind of these top teams, they haven't looked like the Washington that we've seen for much of the year. Philadelphia very quietly has been one of the better defenses in football over the last 5 or 6 weeks. And again, it's just in these Thursday night games, it's an advantage usually to take the favorite, especially when they're the more talented team. So if this game was played on a Sunday, I think it would be a different story. But this young Washington team getting their first feel of playing a short game, especially a game like this. I mean, the NFC East title's up for grabs. Monster game. I like Philly laying 3.5.
PJ, anybody who knows me knows that I am not a Nick Sirianni fan at all. I don't like him. I don't think that he's a great coach. I think that his teams typically underachieve, and that, like, last season, I felt like he lost the locker room towards the end of the year. Now, they are 7-2 right now, and they just demolished the Cowboys. Do you put any stock into, and this is mainly long-term, not even necessarily with the game tonight, but long-term Sirianni's coaching abilities when it comes to betting the Eagles, or does that not come into your mindset?
Oh, no, it absolutely does. It absolutely does. And I think, right, the counter-argument is that they did make a Super Bowl under Sirianni, but I think that was a reflection of both coordinators. I mean, I think Steichen's a really good coach, and he was the OC of that team. And Jonathan Gannon, I think he's a great coach and what he's doing with Arizona, and he was the defensive coordinator. So, look, Vic Fangio's been doing it a long time, and his defenses tend to get better as the season goes along, which you have seen with Philly. And then also Kellen Moore, you know, has been a solid OC. I don't think he's as good as Steichen was, but Philadelphia with them, it just all comes down to health. You know, they're kind of like San Francisco. Like, when they got all their top guys healthy and available, they're really, really good. But if A.J. Brown's out, or Lane Johnson's out, or Saquon's out, they kind of fall apart. So that's my thing with Philly. That's why I don't want to really invest with them in the futures market and would just bet them week by week, because they're really a team that they need everything to be good for them. They need all their guys to be healthy. And if just one piece is missing from that offense especially, it's a completely different team.
And it doesn't look like they're missing tonight. They should have all their weapons in that one. All right, let's go to Sunday. We'll get to the Chiefs and the Bills, the game of the week this week in the NFL, but let's look at the other games, PJ. What are some of your favorite bets this weekend in the NFL?
Yeah, probably the other best game of the day outside of Chiefs-Bills is going to be that Ravens-Steelers game, guys. And look, you know I'm a Ravens fan, and I'll just tell you, as a Ravens fan, when these two teams play, you just bet the underdog. Since 2015, guys, the underdog is 15-2-1 against the spread in this series. It's just the way it is. The dogs just always play well, especially when you get a key number of 3. And look, Lamar's been the best player in football this season. If the season ended today, he'd win MVP. If there's one team he has struggled against in his career, it's been the Steelers. He's actually only started 4 games against Pittsburgh, guys, in his career. It's just the way that it's worked out. Whether it was due to injury those couple seasons and he missed some games, or the Ravens had the 1 seed locked up so he didn't play in like that final week because they were resting him. But this is only the 5th time on Sunday that he's started against the Steelers. And in the 4 previous meetings, he has not played too well against Pittsburgh. Now, obviously, he's a different player, and this is the best offense that they've had since he's been in Baltimore. But I just think that the Steelers have had his number in the past, so I think they're going to keep it close. And that's another reason I like the under in this game as well. Baltimore is 9-1 to the over this season, guys, which makes a lot of sense. Great offense, not a very good defense. They're a perfect over team. We've already seen this total, though, open at 45.5, go up to 48.5. These games are usually 23-20, 24-21. I like the under in the game. So I look at the Steelers plus +3, but the under is my favorite bet, under 48.5.
From a player props perspective on that game, PJ, I mean, it seems like with how leaky the defense has been for the Ravens this season that this could be an opportunity for Russell Wilson, who, you know, I think surprisingly has been able to air it out and have a lot of success since he took over the starting role in Pittsburgh. Is that a player prop you're looking at?
Yeah, I think Russ is going to have a good game. I think George Pickens, guys, I mean, the number one receivers against the Ravens this year have just been eating them alive. We saw what Jamar Chase did on Thursday night when he went for 270 and 3 touchdowns. So Pickens, I'm looking at BetMGM right now, 66.5. That feels a little low to me.
Yes, yeah.
So I think he's going to have a good game. Russ, like you mentioned, Tommy, he's been playing great for Pittsburgh ever since he took over as the starter. But I just think you keep it simple. When you're going up against the Ravens, just bet the opposing number one wide receiver, and normally you're going to cash that ticket.
You want to talk about perfect player fit, those two together, as good as Russ throws the deep ball and, you know, Pickens, who can catch literally everything. It's been a good fit there. There are several good games. Let's go to the NFC West, which feels wide open. Massively important game in that division between the Seahawks and the 49ers. Speaking of two teams who can play a lot of really highly competitive games. Niners 6.5-point favorites at home, though, and they're kind of healthy. You know, Ayuk's out, but they've got some other guys stepping up. That one feels a little low to me, too, PJ, with the Niners at home healthy.
It's an interesting game. You know, this line opened at 7 and then it went down to 6.5. So whenever I see something like that, the books are comfortable with taking some Niners money, anything under a touchdown. Seattle's coming off a bye. This is the second meeting between these two teams. We know in the NFL, it is tough to beat a team two times. And I think right now is kind of the buy low on Seattle. They have not been very good ever since getting off to that 3-0 start. They've really struggled. The defense was supposed to be the strength of this team with Mike McDonald coming over in the offseason. But I think getting two looks at the San Francisco offense is going to help them. And like you mentioned, it's a huge game in the NFC West. Guys, I like this time of the year when we get teams in desperation mode, games that they absolutely have to win. And, you know, in a game that could be close, obviously San Francisco might be second guessing with the way that Jake Mooney was kicking last week against Tampa Bay. So it's not one of my favorite bets, but if I had to play it, I would lean towards Seattle plus the 6.5.
Let's talk the game of the week, PJ. Chiefs and Bills in Buffalo Sunday afternoon. The Chiefs are 2-point road dogs in this game, and they needed a blocked field goal to beat Denver to stay undefeated on Sunday. Meanwhile, the Bills have reloaded with Amari Cooper, and then you've been able to see, you know, some of these other receivers be able to step up, although they're pretty banged up. Keon Coleman won't play. Matt Milano won't play. There's a couple of other injuries that they've got defensively. So it's an interesting line, and we know how the Chiefs are as underdogs. This seems to be just, you know, a really difficult game, I think, at least for me, to be able to figure out what the best angle is. Do you have one?
I mean, everything I know about betting is telling you to take the Bills, right? Like, this line just stinks. I mean, the Chiefs are undefeated. We know how great they are as underdogs. Like, not only are they dogs, but they're plus 2.5, right? So you're getting some points there, too, to work with. I'm just going to fall right into the trap, right? Like, until somebody can show me this season they can beat Kansas City, I'm going to take Kansas City. I think the toughest thing that when you're dealing with, when you go up against the Chiefs, is the mental battle that these other teams have to deal with, right? They know there is such a slim margin for error when you go against Kansas City that you almost have to be perfect on both sides of the ball. And obviously, Josh Allen and the Bills have struggled against KC in the playoffs, but he is 3-1 against them in the regular season. Yep. So they know that in the regular season, they can beat the Chiefs. This game just feels similar to what the San Francisco line did, right? Like, they opened up 1.5. It went to 2.5. It felt like the Niners were the right side in that game. And then the Chiefs just blew them out. So I do expect this game to be close. It's probably a sucker bet taking Kansas City, but they have won so many games this year, so many different ways. Until somebody shows me that they can beat them, not only will I not bet against them, but I'll take the points with them as well. I'll take the 2.5.
Kareem Hunt looks interesting to me in that game. PJ, as we look at props, the Bills are middle of the pack against the run, but it's more about what we saw against the Broncos and that the Chiefs are very vulnerable right now at left tackle. And until they figure that out, it would seem logical to me that they really try to run the ball. They really try to protect those tackles. And Buffalo's, you know, they're gettable in the run game. And I just feel like Kareem Hunt's going to have gobs and gobs of touches in this game. So over 64 rushing yards seems achievable to me.
I can see that. Look, I think Kelce could have a big game as well. When Rice went down, we've started to see the old Travis Kelce kind of come back. Guys, I'd honestly look at Harrison Butker in this game. Over 1.5 field goals, minus 120. I think that's good value as well. These games in the playoffs between these two teams tend to be shootouts, right? It's 10. When we think of Bills Chiefs, we think of those duels between Allen and Mahomes in the high scoring games. In the regular season, though, they tend to be lower scoring. It's usually 24-21, 20-17. We know how great the Chiefs defense has been this year. I kind of think it's going to be like another game in the low scoring, in the lower 20s. So I think both teams could hit a couple field goals. You're getting one of the best kickers in the NFL to just make two at minus 120. So when I think props, that's immediately what I went to, was Butker over 1.5. And then on the other side, guys, Josh Allen over 7.5 rushing attempts in this game as well. I went back and looked. All of his meetings against the Chiefs, he's had 7 of them. He has gone over that in 6 of those games. He's had double-digit carries in 5 of the 7. So in these big games, especially against the Chiefs, Josh will do whatever it takes, right? They'll do whatever it takes to beat Mahomes and beat Kansas City. So I think that that total's a little low as well, over 7.5 attempts. One of my favorite props of the week with Josh.
I want to ask you about Buffalo's wide receivers. We know Keon Coleman is going to be missing this game. And since the Bills acquired Amari Cooper, I feel like the biggest beneficiaries have been the other wide receivers, because so much attention will go on Amari Cooper, and deservedly so. Is this a game potentially that you think a couple, like one or two of the tight ends for Buffalo could have big games? Or is it the game that we see Amari Cooper be able to produce and do well?
I think Amari can produce. I would more so look at an anytime touchdown for Amari. I think that's maybe the best value that you would get on him. Shakir's obviously been Allen's number one guy, Khalil Shakir. So I think he's going to have a solid game as well. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, Tommy, there's not even receiving props up right now on BetMGM. So they're obviously waiting to see what the injury report looks like, because Coleman is a nice piece. And obviously, you know, they like their two tight ends with Kincaid and Dawson Knox. So we'll have to see what happens with the injury report. But I think if you're just looking at Amari specifically, I think anytime touchdown, probably the route to go with him.
I'm going to ask you one more here, and this is kind of philosophical. So we get, I believe, our biggest line of the year so far in the NFL, Lions, Jaguars, 14 points. Yeah. 14 points in the NFL. We rarely get up to that number, but we're there. What do you do when you see those kinds of lines in the NFL?
I think it's all dependent on the team. I think if there's a team in the NFL you're going to want to lay a big number with, I think it's actually Detroit. Because if you want to take a big dog like this in the NFL, guys, a lot of it's going to depend on the favorite, right? Like if you think it's a letdown spot for the favorite, if you don't think they're going to be up for a game like this, the problem with fading Detroit in a letdown spot, and the reason they're so good against the spread, is because how good they are in the trenches, especially on the offensive line, right? So it's like when you're an O-lineman, you're not going to have a letdown. Like you're going to block your guy to the best of your ability. And especially if Mac Jones starts for Jacksonville, guys, like it's a disaster. I think the Jags were like the first team in the last 20 years last week to have like 3 interceptions, not give up any touchdowns, and still find a way to lose the game. So it's, I mean, it's just like, I mean, it's crazy. So I, like you said it, I mean, it's a huge number. You normally don't see a 14 in the NFL, but I think it's that big for a reason. So I, if I had to play the game, I'd actually go with Detroit.
All right, PJ. Well, we got a lot to chew on there. Let's all enjoy Thursday night football. Maybe if your Ravens fall to the Steelers, Tommy will finally join me and buy in on the Steelers being a really good team this year. But it'll be a fun weekend of football.
Great weekend of football. Yeah, great games. Sunday night too. Chargers and Bengals, Herbert and Burrow. That's going to be awesome. So great week of football. Good luck to you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.
And you can use this one. I can't find it anywhere because they're not giving it to us. Brendan Housen 3s for K-State early in the year. If it's anything over 2, get all over. He is taking a billion of them. They like it, but I can't ever find that prop because he wasn't a big name player coming in. Anywho. All right, PJ, we appreciate it. Let's talk again next week.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
As the host of Send It In, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser, Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Tommy, I've been searching and searching every week because it's eventually going to get, you know, it's going to get too, you know, too expensive for these house and threes. I can never find it. Nobody has it yet. I'm checking one more. Yeah, no, I can't find it anywhere. It's driving me nuts. That's all I want to bet all year, all college basketball, and I can't find it. But it is interesting to bet college basketball this early in a year. I think there are a lot of values. I would tell you that I love the Shockers tonight, -7.5. The K-State game, I will probably stay away from if I can't find that player prop. But I do really like the Shockers tonight as far as a bet. But we'll get into that in the next hour when we settle in. All right, let's reset here a little bit. We're going to have Gunther of the WWE had a Monday Night Raw coming into Intrust Bank Arena here pretty soon, December 9th, I believe. So we'll have Gunther in when we return. On the way out, let's set up our Cody Jinks giveaway, Tommy. Cody Jinks, Change the Game Tour, coming to Intrust Bank Arena on Saturday, November 23rd. Special guest Jason Bolin and the Stragglers. To win two tickets, text Cody to the short code 20357. Message and data rates apply. Text Cody to the short code 20357. Good luck, everybody. We'll have some wrestling for you when we return on Sports Daily. All right, welcome in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be joined right now by WWE superstar. Now, I've seen this, and I got to ask you, Gunther, I think you say Gunther. Some people might say Gunther. We'll bring you right in off the top here. What is your preferred pronunciation?
I really don't care. Yeah. Everybody can say how they want to say.
Yeah, that's good. Well, look, you're one of the hottest stars in the business right now. You come in and I think your path is interesting. And we've got Monday Night Raw coming to Intrust Bank Arena, and we appreciate you being here with us ahead of that. I love your path because it took a while to get to the WWE for you, and now you're one of the biggest names in the sport. That's got to be cool. To be able to put in all that work. When did your debut was what, 2022 in the WWE? You were the NXT forever. Like, this has been a long road, but now you're at the top of the mountain. Does that make it any more special for you?
Definitely. It's a special thing to kind of like done it my way. Like, it doesn't have the typical path of a wrestler that makes it in WWE. Neither did I get signed early and went through developmental, or neither did I sign for NXT while I was on the Indies and was just, lived in the US and was on NXT for a while. I was able to keep my distance to the company at first, even though I was working for them, started in 2019, and then slowly, step by step, progress into it. And that was for me personally, that was the right way.
You made an immediate impact when you first went up to the main roster, the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion, and of course now you're the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. There's obviously a lot of major top tier superstars that you have defeated along the way, and some that have been around forever. I mean, I think of guys like Randy Orton and of course Cody Rhodes and other people like that that you've faced off against in the course of your career. Knowing that you made such an immediate impact from the minute that you jumped into the main roster, it definitely takes the entire WWE universe by storm.
Oh yeah. Like I said, I could not be more pleased how it all went in my debut and how things are still going. I came to WWE to mix it up with the best, and that's what I'm here for.
I look back at your resume, and just a quick aside. My family very close with the Funk family, Terry Funk, the legend, of course, and I see your past in Japan, and he, of course, is a star there. But it's a different style over there, right? Tell us about training there and getting a lot of training from that style and then translating it over, because I think the physicality you bring probably is a direct reflection of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, I always wanted to, that was my original goal, was like, I wanted to be professional wrestler in Japan. Like, I enjoyed that style, and it was more sports focused. Like, I trained in Europe, started training in Austria. So the style in Europe is more similar to the Japanese style than it is to the American style. Like, America is more about, yeah, the sports entertainment side, characters, and a lot more time on the microphone. And I personally, that's never been my, yeah, I never really enjoyed it. Like, that was not what I wanted to be. So yeah, I was focused on, yeah, try to get to Japan and try to make it there. Obviously, over time, the business changes, and like, when you go along your career path and look at the realistic opportunities, then you adapt and set new goals. But yeah, from the core, that was always my goal. And I think going to Japan early in my career was one of my best decisions I made, because a lot of the fundamentals I learned there, I still apply them today, and they make me stand out.
I got to ask you about a recent encounter that you had a couple of weeks ago at Crown Jewel against Cody Rhodes. And one of the things, you know, I mentioned a couple minutes ago that, you know, you have made a big impact in the WWE. And, you know, in some cases with some of the opponents, probably not, you know, a lot of love lost between you and some of those guys. But it seemed like once everything was wrapped up with Cody at Crown Jewel, there was some, you know, some mutual respect there. I know that that's something that, you know, depending on how things pan out, that doesn't always show up. What prompted that, and what does the future hold as far as that rivalry is concerned?
I mean, obviously, I respect Cody for what he does. Like, a lot of responsibility on his shoulders, and the position he's in, it's like the most... Yeah, he's like the guy with the most eyes on him, but he also wants to be that guy. And yeah, I respect him for that. And I think, yeah, that's like, there was just one, we had that match now basically a little bit out of nowhere, because we're on different brands. Like, organically, we wouldn't have wrestled each other as champions. He eliminated me twice from the Royal Rumble. Yeah, I'm not done with that. that's our focus on being the World Heavyweight Champion now and upholding that on Monday Night Raw. But whenever we'll have the next opportunity again, like, yeah, Cody and I are not done.
Love hearing that, because both of you scheduled to be here on December 9th. Monday Night Raw, right at Intros Bank Arena. The long history of televised events here in Wichita. I know it's a great crowd. So, you know, bring your hype game here. What can people expect on Monday Night Raw when you guys come in just a few weeks now?
Well, same as always. When I get into the ring, the best performance of the evening, first of all. And yeah, overall, get in. I think what we do, what WWE does, is the best entertainment in the world. And yeah, bring the family and enjoy the show. It's like, won't regret it.
We know you guys are slammed. We know the travel is there. Stay healthy. We look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks here at Intros Bank Arena. Gunther, we appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a good day.
World Heavyweight Champion right there, Gunther. One of the rising stars in WWE. The best heel they've got going by most accounts, which is great. Get out there and check him out. All business there. That, you know, taking that serious. I love that path, Tommy. I love that path of, you know, just the meteoric rise, but happening a little bit late. That I think that always is organic and fun to watch as wrestling fans do it. But that's December 9th, Intros Bank Arena. We appreciate WWE for making Gunther available for us here on Sports Daily. You can go back and listen to that on the Odyssey app. We'll see if Tim Fitzgerald brings same kind of energy there next, because that's where we're headed. Our K-State insider ahead of a K-State basketball game night and a big weekend for the Cats. I want to get with him on the CFP rankings, what that all means, the Big 12 rankings. We've got it all covered for you. It's a jam-packed Thursday edition of Sports Daily, and we keep it rolling right into hour number two.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
He's got all the insight of what you want to know and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are kicking off hour number two. Want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here on KFH. Joining us on that IHOP hotline, brought to you by IHOP, those IHOP house faves, $6 Monday through Friday. Tim Fitzgerald joining us now. Fitz, we just had on WWE superstar Gunther, the world heavyweight champion. He is one of the top heels going right now. You know a little something about being a heel on social media with KU fans. So it's a nice little segue there for you.
I like it. Lately it's been Utah fans, but okay. Yeah, I'll take it. I'm willing to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
Stand in the middle of the ring and, you know, I'm good with that.
Poke that bear a little bit. We've got K-State hoops tonight. Let's start with football though, Fitz, because we have the CFP rankings. I think they're interesting. It's hard. They're ahead of Colorado, which doesn't really mean anything. But I'm trying to think of, like, outside of playing in the Big 12 championship game, which is the obvious path for K-State, they are in at 16. Now, I'd say you need to be inside the top 10 to be safe because, you know, one spot's going to an at-large. Let's say they win all the rest of their games but don't get into the Big 12 championship game. Do you think there is a potential for chaos enough that they might be able to jump over some other, well, probably two-loss teams to maybe get in there as an at-large if they're impressive down the stretch here?
Yeah, there's potential. I don't trust the committee. I think at some point they're going to randomly, just out of nowhere, move a three-loss SEC team above a Big 12 team with two losses. They'll fix it at the end like they've done in the past. They haven't followed their own voting and suddenly have a change of heart when it really counts. So I'll see it when I believe it, but there is a fraction of a chance, but there's also a fraction of a chance I'm going to get a modeling contract today. And I'm telling you what, I like my chances.
I think actually there's a better probability of you getting a modeling contract, Fitz. To be perfectly honest with you. But no, I feel like with, you know, this weekend against Arizona State will, I think for me coming off the bye, tell me a lot about what the mindset is of this team. I think we know athletically and competitively who they are, but at least the mindset of this team moving forward, because Arizona State is no slouch of a team. But do they believe, do the Wildcats still believe that they can get into the CFP, that they could, compete against potentially a BYU team for a Big 12 title. I think it's this game coming off the bye is going to tell me at least a lot about their mindset.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I think this game is a huge measurement on the field and between the ears of where they're at, what they think they can do. And I think this team's solely focused right now on the Big 12 championship, doing what they need to do to take care of their business. Because if they don't do that, nothing else matters. And I think that's what they're focused on. But we're going to find out how focused that is against a really good Arizona State team. An Arizona State team that does some things that could give K-State problems. And if they come out of that unscathed and actually look good, I think more people will buy in. But Kansas State has this unexpected opportunity here to prove something. Arizona State 7-2. I can't remember Cincinnati's record, but they're above water and really surprising people. And, of course, Iowa State, despite two losses, has still got a really good record. So they've got a chance to prove a little bit more. But in all honesty, I don't think there's anyone of great enough value on this team on the schedule to – right, raise this team up into the college football playoffs. So they're focused on the only guaranteed path to that is winning their games, getting some help with Colorado, Kansas, and then, you know, see what happens and get into that title game. And if you win, you're in.
look, it's we do it because it's out there. Look at it. But I do look at the way things are shaped right now. And if you get losses with the two, it really becomes a question of, will a two loss K-State game be capable of being ranked ahead of a three loss SEC team? I think that's where it all comes into play. So if you're K-State right now, obviously you're a big KU fan, especially against Colorado. Yep. It opens up the path. You want Iowa State to win all the rest of the I think you probably want Indiana to come back down to earth. I think that would be the most helpful when they start actually playing people. And then you're going to need, you know, some other teams to get to three losses. K-State won't get in if they're a two-loss team versus two-loss teams in the SEC. It really is, can they get in if they win everything else and be a two-loss team versus three-loss teams out of the SEC? But yeah, it's hard to sit here today and say, oh, the path is for Kansas to beat Colorado.
Right.
That's tough.
I'm going to accept a three-loss SEC team if those losses are Alabama, Georgia, you know, some legitimate teams. If you just got one from in the mix, I got a problem with that. But I understand that I'm going to admit that the SEC is better than the Big 12, certainly at the top notches. I think the middle is, you know, fairly similar. I'd take those matchups. But you don't get those matchups in CFP. You only get the
and you lost to Houston on the road. I mean, that's that's the easy cop out. Like they lost to Houston. That's what's going to hang over there.
You know what? I think you tripped onto another part of this equation. K-State needs Houston to win some more games. They need to show that they finished as a really good football team. And if that happens, that'll erase some of the sting of that loss. I make fun of Indiana's schedule because they haven't hardly played anyone. And K-State lost to a team with a losing record. So, you know, that's what they haven't done. They haven't tripped over someone they should beat, and that's what K-State did. So I think Houston's going to be a really good team at some point. It was kind of a harmonic convergence of things, of catching K-State at the right time, the exact right mistake at the right time. K-State blew it. They know they blew it. And I think that sticks with them. I think they're a little angry at themselves for what happened.
I'll be the first to admit, Fitz, that I have not been, up until recently, a Coach Prime believer at Colorado, especially going into this season. I mean, I didn't think that they were for real. I thought it was all hype and no substance. And here they are. I mean, they're obviously, you know, in this position to where, you know, they could be the second team or even the first team, depending on what happens with BYU, to compete for a Big 12 title and get into the CFP. Looking at Colorado's remaining schedule, you know, Kansas State is going to need a little bit of help. Do you think the most likely team that could beat Colorado is, you know, maybe Kansas at Arrowhead?
Yeah.
I mean, is that the best opportunity?
Yeah, well, not just because it's Kansas and Arrowhead. I think KU is playing as well as anyone in the conference right now.
I agree.
That team K-State beat in Manhattan, well, they played better. K-State just continued to find a way to win. I think they're getting even better. I think Kansas is a problem for everyone on the remaining schedule. And beating BYU wouldn't really help that much because BYU's got the tiebreaker on Kansas State. But, yeah, they're out there with a chance to really remake the entire Big 12 race. Strangely, it'd be in favor possibly of their rival, but also they still have a chance to get to a bowl game and do it in impressive fashion by running a gauntlet. And I think they're capable of it. I think now that they're awake, they're capable of anything. And I think they're exactly the kind of team that might give Colorado problems. And I say that with also adding, I think Colorado's playing the best in the Big 12 by far.
Yeah.
And I think I'm with you, Tommy. I wasn't a doubter. I wasn't a hater as much as a doubter, I guess, is what I want to say about Coach Prime. I didn't think the plan wouldn't work. I just didn't like the way he was kind of going around it about the fringes. And I feel like they've kind of settled into more of a traditional football program right now in the way they're operating. And I think it's paying off. I think they're doing an incredible job coaching. They've got great talent. I love Shedeur Sanders as a quarterback. Travis Hunter's a freak. I think this team's dangerous. And I think the best – I'd say this because I cover K-State, but I think the best scenario for the Big 12 is BYU goes 12-0, loses to Colorado in the championship game, and BYU will have a legitimate shot at being an at-large bid at that point. And I think Colorado have a legitimate shot at beating a team or two. So I'm all in, and I think K-State has a much higher gear, but they better show it starting Saturday at the Bill.
Well, and I'll give K-State fans, you know, it's not just if you're K-State, you want KU to beat BYU only because it keeps bowl game and aspirations and motivations high when they do play Colorado. They lose that game and the bowl's out the window, and who knows, you know, what happens off the field and things like that. All right, let's talk some hoops tonight, Fitz. Look, it's been as good as you can hope for K-State. 2-0. 2-0, despite the fact, right, that you haven't really had all of the star players doing what you thought they would do. Hawkins is filling up a stat sheet, but he's not doing what they expected him to. You're getting the contributions from guys like Housen, who maybe people overlooked, but they're shooting a ton of threes. They're playing that brand. It's working for them, and you feel like you haven't seen the best of their star players. Anything we're missing? I mean, this has been just right. And now tonight you get, of course, Cam Carter and LSU in the house. I really don't know what to make of the game tonight because I think LSU is probably pretty good. But I do think it's been a great start for the Cats.
I agree. I think what's different about this team is kind of what you mentioned, that their top players can not be at their best and they can win. And because they have a lot of scoring options, they have a lot of guys that can – come in and play and fill it up. And I don't think they played particularly well in their last game. They had too many turnovers. They got crushed on the backboards, including giving up way too many offensive rebounds to a Cleveland State team that, you know, you should have been able to overmatch. But they shot 56%. Brendan Housen just went off from three-point range, and they won by 15. That's something last year's team didn't do. They didn't have that. They had to play well enough to win and be competent, you know, on the offensive end. And they weren't a lot of times. And I think this team is going to be much more explosive in scoring. They have more weapons. They have more tools in Jerome Tang's toolbox to do different things with different teams. And last year's team, they just didn't have enough depth. This team is loaded with depth. And we expect Achora to be back in the lineup for the first time as a Kansas State Wildcat, as he's been dealing with some family issues back home.
I'm really excited, and I know this has been a storyline leading up to this game tonight, but I'm really excited about the return of Cam Carter to Bramlage in this game tonight. And he's been great through the first two games for LSU, 21 points in both of those games for LSU. And I think that the exciting part about it is the fact that the game is in Manhattan, and so he's going to get a chance to, you know, come back and do all that. It seems like this has been a good fit for him, at least early on, to go to LSU. And now the way that, you know, the Wildcats have rebuilt that roster, I'm just excited about seeing him and him facing Kansas State.
I agree. And he'll get a warm welcome because fans love Cam Carter. I think a change is needed for both parties. The turnovers, and I think it started to get into Cam's head, and I think a restart somewhere else has really helped him. And I hope he's worked on his skill set, because if so, he's going to be a whale of a basketball player. But you can't be a guard / shooting guard and at this level and not be able to handle the ball and pass, you know, better than he does. And he did. Maybe he's fixed that. But I also think Kansas State went out and improved itself in different ways. And I'm intrigued to see how well Cam plays against a bunch of coaches that know exactly what his skill sets are and what his weaknesses are. But he's a great kid. He's a great young man. And I know he'll be warmly welcomed back to Bramlage Coliseum tonight.
One more for you, Fitz. Is the most surprising thing about this team the most experienced player? Like, did anybody see David Gasson having this kind of impact early? I don't know how long that will last, but, you know, he's kind of the only holdover. And here he is having the most success early. Maybe I'm the only one, but that really has surprised me first little bit of this season.
Yep, I agree. In terms of playing minutes, he's the main holdover. But keep in mind two things from last year. One, he played with a bad back most of the year, and it did affect him. It made him less mobile. You can see how much better he feels, how much more active he is. And two, they had two true centers last year. So they moved him out into that four spot that Colbin Hawkins is back in. He was really good as a sophomore in that five spot because he's a hard matchup. Sometimes he's a bad matchup for K-State. You got to get him off the floor defensively. But he's so active and quick and getting up and down the court. He's a really tough matchup for a lot of teams. And they've moved him back to the five, you know, primarily. And it shows. He's a much better player at the five. He just is. And that's kind of unfortunate for him because he'll never play the five at any other level. He needs to develop that game. But for K-State's needs, having him in the post is pretty important. And now getting Achiuwa Achiuwa back will give them another person that can slide into that five spot.
I know that we talked about it last week a little bit, but we've had another game to see what David Gasson has been able to do through the first couple of games for Kansas State. And I think I mentioned it to you last week that it's great to know that on a team full of newcomers and transfers and all of that, you've got Gasson who has just kind of taken another step forward offensively. And the question that I have with that is, do you think that's more of him progressing just overall with his skill set? Or is there part of it where he's surrounded by players now that complement him better?
That's a lot of it. I think everyone on this team should probably feel a lesser load on their shoulders than the players did last year. There's a couple guys last year that were carrying the weight for the entire team. And now they've got about 10 dudes that can step in there and have an impact, if not more. And I think that's going to be really substantial. But more importantly, is it's going to up that competition in practice. You're going to have to earn the playing time. Nobody's backing into minutes on this team, not even Colbin Hawkins. You got to show up every day of practice or someone's going to take your spot. And I think that's the most motivating thing a coach can give his team is competition on the roster.
All right, Fitz, before we let you go, we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up the other K-State game tonight. The K-State women inside the top 10, mm-hmm. they look like a legitimate Final Four contender. They bring in Creighton tonight at Bramlage. It's a doubleheader tonight at Bramlage. This is going to carry a ton of momentum. If they keep it up, it's going to become a big story that this is a national title contending team in Manhattan led by one of the great players in the game right now, who's been there a very long time. This is an awesome story brewing here in Manhattan with the K-State women.
And Jeff Mitty went out and addressed some of their issues with more depth. I feel like, you know, Ioka Lee was out some of their last game and or all the last game, and they plugged in new players that stepped up and filled the void in terms of leadership, scoring, and all the things you need. I think they're better equipped to win when she's down and on the bench. And, you know, a player of her style, her size, is going to need some time off. And she is injury prone. So they needed to answer that. And I think they have. I'll be interested to see if she plays tonight. I think she will. And how good she is in the process of that. But I think that ankle injury was more than just a simple sprain. I think there's something more on there. And if so, she'll be a little bit limited. But this is a really good K-State team. If they put together the pieces and get the right coaching, they go a long ways.
And didn't really they just season. Correct me if I'm wrong? I saw they brought in a top 10 recruiting class for the you know.
Yeah, I haven't seen that this morning of what they're finishing off as, but yeah, they're crushing it in recruiting, crushing awesome. It. And guys, I want to point out that I have no idea what K-State women's NIL is, but this is exactly where NIL can make the most difference.
Yeah.
If you pick a sport, you can put a fraction of your resources into that sport and maybe get pretty good at it. I believe that can happen with volleyball. It's a void in the Big 12 that I think Kansas State can fill with the right NIL money. They're doing it in women's basketball. And I think that's a kind of a cheat code Kansas State can use in some of these other sports.
It's a financially sound decision, too. Look at the explosion of women's basketball all across the country. You start filling up Bramlage, there you go. And I think that's what I mean when I say this is going to be a developing story. That's what I'm talking about. Like, yeah. I think, you know, when you get that, you could get sold out arena, those kinds of things. And it'll be awesome to track that down. All right, Fitz, what do you guys have going at Go Power Cat?
Well, we're just cooking away. We got the pregame podcast up. We'll have the Friday walkthrough tomorrow. We got all kinds of coverage. We had like 9 stories come across our site yesterday. It was a busy day. We're just loving it. As much as I loved having a week off, I'm glad to have back-to-back home games. You realize Kansas State's had one home game since September. One. And it's just been a weird, weird season. Kansas being that only game Oklahoma State was the last home game at the end of September. It's crazy. This has been a weird schedule. Now I had to get back-to-back games in the middle of November at home. Luckily, the weather will be somewhat decent. Then go to Iowa State in the season. It's been a weird schedule. And it's been an extremely hard schedule for K-State. If you look now at who they've actually played and where the standings sit, they've played almost everyone that's good in this conference and missed a lot of teams that have struggled.
Yeah, it's one that will come down to the wire, we're sure. But they got to take care of business this weekend, Fitz. We appreciate it. Be good. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, boys. Thank you.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. GoPowerCat.com. You can go back and listen to anything with Fitz, anything with WWE superstar, world heavyweight champion Gunther, anything with PJ Glasser, our betting insider. We've gone back-to-back-to-back interview segments, and we'll open the IHOP hotline back up to you.
We can take a breath
the
now,
rest
right?
of the way. Take a breath. Yeah. That's right. I want to tell you about Crestview Country Club's Fall at the Club. Thinking about playing a little golf tomorrow, Tommy, if you can sneak out of the office. Tomorrow, Friday.
I think I might Friday, be doing that, too. I maybe we're playing separately from one another.
We'll have to look at that.
Yeah.
Because I owe you a couple of beers on the course.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. But it's more than just the golf. Look, if you're not a golfer, all the other social pieces of it, they have memberships that just include that. They go wild this time of year around the holidays. Thanksgiving brunch, Thanksgiving meals you can bring home. There's a New Year's Eve party. There's a kids club. There's all kinds of camps. Give Crestview a call. Ask them about those different kinds of memberships. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. Appreciate their support of the program. When we come back, we're back open. We'll preview the Shockers tonight. We'll get into a little Thursday Night Football. We'll look ahead to the Chiefs and the Bills, which we haven't really done specifically yet this week. It's all coming as we go down about 40 minutes to go here on a Thursday Sports Daily. Don't go away. NFL Thursday Night Football available for free here on KFH and the Odyssey app. You can tune in tonight, 97.5, 1240 at 6:30. Ravens hosting the Bengals. That's actually, let me give you a quick programming note. That's actually going to be on 1330 tonight. Simply download the Odyssey app. Search for KNSS at game time. So normally, let's just real quick, because it's a crazy night, Tommy. So Thursday Night Football is going to move to KNSS because here you'll have K-State basketball, of course, home of K-State Athletics right here on KFH. That'll be a 7 o'clock pregame coverage. Shocker basketball with its 5:30 pregame coverage is over, as always, on KEYN. So we've got a lot to do. The good thing is, though, I would say, Tommy, about tonight is it all sort of lines up for us, right? Like, you can kind of stagger it if you want to watch all three, because I do think this is a good Thursday Night Football game to watch tonight. But let's start with the Shockers. I think this is a great opportunity for them. I don't think Northern Iowa is as good as they typically are. Maybe a 20-point loss at home is an outlier, but that's a tough outlier to lose like that to UC Irvine as they did in their most recent game. Not that the Shockers themselves should be, overlooking anything. UC Irvine is a top 60 team, so they're pretty good. And it could be simply that. But Wichita State's got a great opportunity here tonight. And look, like, Tommy, when we talk about the Shockers, I think it's interesting. If you go to the futures market, we looked yesterday at the office, they're, 10-1 right now to win the American. I know we don't know a lot about the American yet. If you do, good for you. I don't. But this is a nice opportunity against another brand name program for Wichita State to build a little buzz around basketball, which is, first and foremost, what the program needs more than anything is to start filling Charles Koch Arena back up.
It's extremely important. And in a season where, the non-conference opponents, for the most part, are not top level. I know they play Kansas State, and I know that they go, they play in a tournament, and different things like that early on during the holidays. Other than that, it's not a really high level non conference schedule.
I like it. I like the non con.
It's but it's not.
You can't. The problem is you can't control how good St.
Right.
Louis and Minnesota
you're
and
totally
Florida
right.
or Wake Forest, but look, they took their shots as best they could, and this should be, in normal circumstances, a really good game. We hope that Western Kentucky and Montana State have their normal level of success. You heard PJ Glasser say he had Western Kentucky, you know, a team as he liked. But I do think, Tommy, and yeah, who knows? Like, this is the problem with the American being down, is what if these teams aren't great and you don't get any help with the non-con? But I think on paper, we like the non-con, but it's such an unknown. And, you know, it, for K-State, for KU, it doesn't matter because they're going to get their Big 12 games and who cares, right? For Wichita State, though, it does, I think, intensify the pressure to win these games.
Well, I think it does, too. And my point in saying that is because they need to have as many quality wins, even if they're not, I mean, because Northern Iowa is not a quad one team, right? They're not going to be a quad one team. Those are few and far between, if really hardly any at all. I mean, are there any quad one? I mean, probably not.
K-State will end up being a quad one.
I mean, I forgot about K-State. There aren't going to be many of them, right? But you need to have at least higher profile names, I guess, if that makes sense, to be able to win, even if, you know, like Northern Iowa doesn't end up being a top tier opponent at the end of the day. There's the name recognition there and there's the longtime rivalry. And I think that the buzz around that, number one, it helps externally. It helps with the crowd. You know, I think that there will be a good crowd tonight for the game solely because, you know, but due in large part to who they're playing in Northern Iowa. Shocker fans don't like Northern Iowa. They haven't for a long time. Also having Mark Turgeon back, that will help too. So I think it'll be a really good crowd and an opportunity, I think, to set the table for what the remainder of the season could look like, because it is an exciting brand of basketball and it's more exciting than what we've seen in recent years from Wichita State. So if they can set the table early with an opponent like Northern Iowa, whether or not they're super competitive, the name recognition is there. You're getting a lot of people out potentially, I would hope, I would think, for tonight's game. Then at that point, I wouldn't be surprised if there are casual Shocker fans that are attending tonight's game because of the matchup, because of Turgeon back in the Roundhouse, back more and more and more because they're like, this is a fun brand of basketball with fun players to watch.
Look, I agree, and that's what I mean. Like, now you got to win the fans. Like, you're going to have them probably, you know, dipping their toe back in. Like, Okay. Like, and you got to win them over. But that means you got to win some big games. I'm just browsing through KenPom because we're kind of talking about it. Western Kentucky's already lost two games. That's not going to end up being a quad one, I don't think. Very unlikely, right? St. Louis, probably not. But I would tell you right now, based on the early KenPom, which, again, guys, they haven't played really many games. So, you know, grain of salt on all of this, but Minnesota, Kansas State, either Florida or Wake Forest all look like those could potentially be quad ones. Like, Florida's inside the top 20 right now in KenPom. Wake Forest is inside, I think, the top. What was,
I mean, Minnesota 50-ish. Did just lose last night to North Texas.
And let me see if that's been updated.
And they scored 14 points in the first half. It was not a good first half for Minnesota. They bounced back in the second and made it a game. They only lost by 3 to North Texas, but it was not a good start for Minnesota.
Yeah, and that's factored in, but they're still 75 in the KenPom right now. If that holds true, you know, when you get to it, because you're going to play them on a neutral court, you could. But the opportunities will be there. What we don't know is how many of those opportunities are coming in the American yet. We don't know that yet. So just make good impressions early for the fans, I guess, is the point, right? 20-point win over Montana State, that's going to make a good impression. Winning at Western Kentucky, that's going to make a good impression. Beating Northern Iowa I don't want to call it spectacular. I don't want to over – like, do it in the brand that they've played their first two games – and people are going to take notice. People are going to get on board with that. So, we're optimistic. We like what they've got going. I think they found a consistent offensive weapon in Justin Hill. You know, it's interesting. We talked to him, Tommy, yesterday. And if you go back and look at Justin Hill and his season last year for Georgia, his shot volume for the Shockers has been high, you know, 10-plus in his games. It was that in the postseason for Georgia last year. It wasn't most of the regular season, but by the end of the season, when the games counted the most and Georgia made a little bit of a run through the NIT, he was taking a lot of shots. Credit to the coaching staff, I think, for identifying him as a player that could thrive in a bigger role. because that will help this team, I think, a great deal, especially early on as everybody settles in. If they can just find, you know, who can go get us a bucket guy, which they haven't had in a while, that's could, you know, that could be a big deal for this team early on. I think eventually it'll be a very balanced offensive attack for this team. But as they find their legs and, you know, their chemistry, it is nice to be able to turn to a consistent offensive threat.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. When was the last time that the Shockers had a go-to guy offensively? Was it Ricky Council? I don't know.
Yeah,
if it
but
was.
Even when I would say even when Ricky Council was there, it never felt like he was go take 15 shots a game guy. At least it didn't to me. Let me just pull. I think I can pull this up here pretty quick. So if I go back to 23-24, which was last year, and you go to your individual stats.
Jaquan Walton maybe? I mean, it was
probably Colby Rogers
last
year. I'm just trying to look at his number of shots taken on a per game basis, and I don't think I can pull that number fast enough. But he was a little over 10 a game. So I suppose that's there. But boy, when he left, I guess this is the point I'm trying to make. We're going into game three officially. That was one of the big questions to me, is if Rodgers is out, and Rodgers was good, right? But, you know, he was good. Who steps into that? Because, you know, the roster didn't really show that to you, right? In shots attempted. It's been the guys we thought it might be it, Harlan Beverly, Xavier Bell, and Justin Hill. But they're doing it, and Hill's been converting at a very high clip. He's taken a whole lot of free throws, and that's, I think, the biggest key, honestly, of anything, is Justin Hill's getting to the free throw line. And, you know, if you're struggling offensively, if you can get to the free throw line, it's going to make up the difference. And at the position he plays, it's even more critical. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to convince myself of what I do believe, and that's that he's going to become a really big-time offensive player for this team. Maybe I'm trying to, you know, talk myself into what I already think, but I think that's the case. And I think Justin Hill's going to be a very consistent and a very high level offensive weapon for the Shockers this year.
The big question, I think, is going to be, you know, what happens, and it will happen at some point during the season, sooner or later. There'll be a team that will zero in on stopping him and shutting him down. Who are the other options? Who's the second guy, the third guy, all of that? And those are things that will flesh themselves out
as
the season goes on. It's been great to see Justin Hill from the get-go jump in, you know, in his debut in the first couple of games with Wichita State and assert himself and solidify himself as the main offensive threat. That's awesome. They're going to need more than that.
You don't score 90 points, though, without that happening. You know what I mean?
Sure,
like, you don't
100%.
Get to 90 without, and they've got five guys averaging double digits through two games, which is great. But Justin Hill's filling a stat sheet unlike a Shocker in a long time. Like, it's not just points, his assist. I think he's leading the team in assist, which he should be. And he's rebounding. I mean, he's tied for the lead on the team in rebounding right now. And he's leading the team in assists. And he's essentially leading the team in a triple-double, right? Like, he's got the most points, he's got the most rebounds, he's got the most assists. It's now on him to see, like, can you shoulder that load? Does he need to shoulder that load? I think, to your point, is one part of it. But I think if he can, we welcome it, right? Like, to have the go-to is fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm totally fine with that.
It's very early, okay? So I want to be...
I
want to be sensitive to the fact that it's a very, very small sample size, and things can change, as we all know. Justin Hill's been great, and I think one of the things that has... that's been dominating the narrative, as it should, right? Because, like you mentioned, it's been unlike anything we've seen from a Shocker in a while. But quietly... behind that, Xavier Bell offensively through two games, it's only two games, but through two games, his three-point percentage is significantly higher than what it has been in his entire career at Wichita State. In fact, last year through 34 games, his three-point percentage was 29%. It was barely, it wasn't even 23% 2 years ago. It's 43% right now through the first two games. Again, it's early, things can change, but that's been a pleasant surprise early on too. It goes back to what I said, if it's not Justin Hill, if he has an off night or the defense takes him away, who's it going to be? If Xavier Bell can keep up, even not even necessarily at this clip, but even slightly around there, like it's going to be a really good season for him.
And remember, too, I think most people would have guessed that Corey Washington would be the incoming player that had the offensive, you know, role like this, but it's been Hill. And again, I just looked back, and he started to do this at Georgia at the end of his career. So I do think there's staying power to it. And remember this, too. The Shockers blew Montana State out of the gym, and they basically just didn't take any threes because they didn't need to. Versatility, another thing we like to see. Can you tell listeners that we are excited about the potential return of high-level Shocker basketball? Because I don't think we're the only ones, and we're enthused. And again, is from a bet. I like the bet tonight. I do. I think they can cover 7.5. But we'll check that. All right, let's talk a little. Let's talk Chiefs Bills when we come back, because we haven't even started to preview that game. We'll talk a little Chiefs Bills when we return. Some injury news that we haven't really addressed yet this week on some, you know, players coming back off IR, who could be back, who's not going to be back, but is getting closer. We'll cover all of that in our last full segment here on Sports Daily. We'll give away a little HTO on the way out. Free iced tea, sweet or unsweet, free coffee, iced or hot. You can win one of each at any of the Wichita Metro locations by texting the short code TEA to 20357. T20357. Good luck, everybody. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. We'll be right back. More Sports Daily after.
.97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster on a Thursday. Big Thursday night football game tonight. Should be a fun one. I want to talk Chiefs-Bills, though, Tommy. Isaiah Pacheco, Charles Omenihu off of IR, neither of which will play this weekend. But Juju Smith-Schuster might. Andy Reid was pretty optimistic, honestly, about that yesterday. I mean, good, right? Good, because I think what Juju helps with is a quick passing game, which absolutely has to be prioritized based on what we saw at left tackle against the Broncos. I unfortunately, you're probably looking at a deep strike. How many times would you be comfortable with looking for a deep?
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Keep route primarily in the game. 4, 5... between Hopkins and Worthy.
Yeah.
Like I just, you can't take that kind of risk.
Not
I don't
many.
Think.
And I think that that's, you know, if Juju is able to play, the first thing that pops into my head is, okay, well, that, now there might be another option for Mahomes to get the ball out quickly if he is under duress and under a lot of pressure on Sunday, similar to what we saw against the Broncos, because that's what Juju can do. Juju can, you know, jump out and, you know, go 5 yards downfield, you know, run in the slot or whatever and get open quickly. That's kind of what he does. And so I think that there's that opportunity there where maybe having Juju on the sideline, we underestimated the importance of not having him available to do that sort of thing, especially in the Denver game. You take away, really outside of Travis Kelce, who can get you short yardage, you know, high percentage catches. Other tight ends can do that too. We've seen Noah Gray, you know, make that happen and all of that. But having Juju in the lineup, if he can play on Sunday, that might help a little bit as far as the passing game, just because you now have another weapon to be able to get the ball out quickly too.
It will. I mean, it for sure will. It has to. Like, I do wonder, like, who does he replace? And I think lately it's been Watson, right? Like, you'll go Worthy. I'm sorry, not Worthy. You'll go D-Hop and you'll go Juju. And you probably are going a bunch of tight ends, honestly. Like, I don't know. If Wanya Morris is there, I think they'll probably be all right. If he's there and fully healthy. Andy Reid talked about him, too. It sounds like whatever it is he's dealing with is something he's probably just going to continue to deal with. Playing doesn't hurt it. I think it's like a bone bruise. But if it's something he's going to keep dealing with, that means we could see more of Kingsley Suamataia. And when that dude's on the field, they're going to have to help him for now. So that also kind of cuts down a little bit of what they do. One thing I will say, though, the Chiefs are very comfortable living in that short pass game, run the ball, lots of motion. That's what they've done for 2 years. I mean, it just is. You know, we can salivate all we want about the potential of, you know, getting D-Hop deep and, you know, Worthy speed and all these things. You can't block that up. Doesn't really matter. So you kind of kick it old school if you're the Chiefs, right? Like, revert back to what they've done the last couple of years. I am worried about this game. We'll make our picks tomorrow. I would tell you my initial lean is to take Buffalo. I'm not there yet, though. I'm not quite there yet. I don't know that I'm ready to do that. But this does fit. And it's more about just like how many times can the Chiefs have the ball bounce their way. But yeah, they're underdogs, and I get it.
Yeah, I mean,
how, an underdog. And I get the risky business.
There's so much past history to show Kansas City as underdogs that even if I wanted to take Buffalo, it's like, when will people learn to stop making the Chiefs underdogs?
There's also history in this matchup. Buffalo's been really good against them in the regular season, historically. I think it's 3-1 in their last four, right? It's not that way in the postseason, obviously, but Buffalo is not overwhelmed in this matchup in the regular season like a lot of teams are. And I got to imagine somewhere in that 3-1, the Chiefs have been underdogs against the Bills over the years. So we'll see. I don't know that I'm ready to go that way yet. I'm not ready to go that way yet. But that's my initial lean, is to take Buffalo at home. But man,
it's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's hard to do. We'll see. I'm excited about the game. This will be such a great test for the Chiefs based on what we saw against Denver. But Buffalo's just a better version of Denver, right? Like a quarterback who can do both things like Denver had, a running game that is can be a problem. Like they're good.
I don't know if it's that the running game can be a problem. The running game is a problem. I mean, James Cook is a really good guy.
What I'm saying is, like, it can be a problem in the sense that you're going to have to deal with Josh Allen too. Like, sure. It can be a big problem.
Yeah, right? Don't get me wrong. This is going to be an extremely challenging game for Kansas City. These are the games that Kansas City typically will win. It's the games against teams like Denver that, you know, that are stinkers. They play down to the competition, and it's kind of like, what are you doing out there, guys?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting set of picks tomorrow with this game. I can't wait for it. It's going to be so good. So it's those game tonight, Thursday Night Football. It's going to be a really good game tonight. I'm excited to see these two teams square off, and we'll have it. All right, we're going to come back. It is a busy night on the network. We'll tell you where you can catch it all next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com